From Hollywood, California, the Mutual Darnley Network brings you Behind the Story. Stories unusual but true. As transcribed by your favorite storyteller, Marvin Miller. Today, I'd like to take you behind the story of one of the most amazing and fearsome experiences a man ever had, in which the chances for survival are about one out of a million. And strangely enough, this incident will interest Bible students. First, a brief pause, and then we'll meet the modern Jonah and his whale. Our story behind the story.
Did you know that 90% of all fires in homes are the direct result of carelessness? For example, have you ever smoked in bed? If you have, it's one of the common actions that can lead to an expensive fire. And none of us can afford such a needless expense. If every American, and that includes every one of us, eliminated the fire hazards in his own home, almost all the fires that destroy hundreds of thousands of dwellings annually could be prevented. All that's required is the observation of a few simple rules. Don't smoke in bed or discard lighted cigarettes carelessly. Clean out those old newspapers, magazines, and inflammable debris that have a habit of accumulating. Should building materials become scarce as a result of defense needs, property losses from fire would be an even more costly waste. And there's a possibility that homes that go up in smoke and flames could become irreplaceable. Remember, don't gamble with fire. The odds are against you. And now here is Marvin Miller.
Robert Greene Ingersoll, lawyer and orator, was widely known for his public lectures attacking the Bible. He became known as the great agnostic. One of his stock illustrations proving that the Bible was fallacious was to cite the example of Jonah and the whale. Ingersoll, to his satisfaction at least, proved that it was impossible for a great fish or whale to swallow a man. Well, today we're going to explore behind the story of some Jonahs. Let's begin at the beginning with the biblical Jonah. In the Old Testament, Jonah 1:17, we find, "Now the Lord did swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and nights." Chapter 2 of Jonah tells of his prayer to God and concludes with verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Chapter 3 tells how the word of the Lord came to Jonah and instructed him to go to Nineveh, and so on. In simple words, Jonah was swallowed by a whale, lived in the whale for 3 days, then was cast out to continue in the service of God. This Ingersoll would not accept. A lot of other people also have refused to acknowledge the story of Jonah as even possible. Well, it's not the purpose of Behind the Story to enter into theological debate. We report facts, and facts only. So without further ado, let's see about the possibility of a whale swallowing a man, thus confirming the story of Jonah and the Bible. It's quite possible that there are instances of such an event that I have not as yet discovered, but I can report that there are two such documented instances. The first took place in March 1863. A man named Nye, a whaler from Cape Cod, and who, incidentally, might well have been the inspiration for Captain Ahab in Moby Dick, was on a whaling trip. A huge sperm whale was sighted. At the traditional cry, the whaling men immediately launched the ship's longboat and rowed to the huge whale basking on the surface. The longboat was maneuvered in close to the whale so the harpooner could do his work. Standing poised on the bow of the bobbing longboat was the harpooner, signaling the rower. When he dropped his hand, the men tipped their oars and let the boat drift in close to the enormous whale. Suddenly, the heavy harpoon sailed through the air and buried itself deep in the vitals of the whale. Instantly, the crew began to back water, but not soon enough. One of the whale's gigantic flukes crashed down on the fragile wooden boat and flipped it up in the air. The men were spilled out into the sea. That is, all of them except Nye. He fell directly into the mouth of the whale. The great mammal then snapped its huge jaws shut and pounded. Down, down, down it went. Nye lost consciousness. Meanwhile, the whaling ship had launched another boat to pick up the crew. Back on the ship, Nye's fellow crew members decided that he must have drowned. A few moments later, the whale surfaced, dead. The harpoon had worked its way to a vital, thinking that they would see Nye at the whale and began to strip the blubber, baleen, or commercial whalebone in its mouth. Instead, the sperm whale has a few large teeth in the lower jaw. It opened the sperm whale's mouth to get the teeth. They found nine inside. One leg was badly crushed, and he was unconscious. But miraculously, he was still alive. Nye lost a leg as a result of his bout with the whale, but he lived to a ripe old age after his amazing escape. Then on, he was called Peg Leg Nye. He delighted in being referred to as the Jonah of Cape Cod. And now for our second story behind the story of men who have rivaled Jonah. This incident took place in 1891. While on a cruise, the whaling vessel Star of the East located a great school of sperm whales. The crew immediately set about the business of hunting them down. One of them, which had been wounded by a bomb lance thrown from a whaleboat, turned and crushed the boat into matchwood between its huge jaws. The crew leaped in all directions to escape the enraged whale. The steersman, James Bartley, jumped with the others. But as he leaped, the whale made a quick turn in the water, opened its mouth, and caught it.
1891. This day, steersman James Bartley crossed the sea. He was swallowed by a sperm whale. May God rest his soul.
A moment's pause here, and then I'll be back to tell you about James Bartley, the sailor who truly rivaled Jonah in our story behind the story.
You can play a vital part in the defense of our country. There is a possibility that an enemy bombing force could attack us. Radar is a wonderful invention, but it cannot completely eliminate the chance of foreign aircraft slipping through undetected. To prevent the possibility of such an unwelcome surprise, the Ground Observer Corps has been established. This volunteer organization is composed of civilians who are spending a few hours of their spare time each week skywatching. They've been taught how to do this job by Air Force personnel, who also supervise the observer's time on duty. When their training is complete, they are able to report quickly to filter centers specified types of aircraft and hostile action. Today, there are 49 filter centers located in 27 states to which observation posts report. All these centers and posts are manned by volunteers. When the Ground Observer Corps extends its coverage to the rest of the country, many more sky watchers will be needed. If you're a teenager or older, enroll now for service in the Ground Observer Corps in your locality. Now here again is Marvin Miller.
Now to continue our story behind the story of James Bartley, the sailor who rivaled Jonah. On August 25th, 1891, Bartley was swallowed by a wounded whale and was presumed lost by his shipmates. Later that day, a dead whale came to the surface of the sea. For 2 days, the whalers worked at removing its blubber. When they had finished, it occurred to one of the crew that the whale they had been working on might possibly be the one that had swallowed Bartley.
Oh, what if it is? I say leave him be. He's dead anyway.
Well, sure, he would be dead, but the least we could do would be to give him a Christian burial. Captain, have I your permission to see if this is the whale that swallowed poor old Bartley?
By all means. And if so, I'll see to it that he gets the proper burial at sea.
Here, some of you men, lend a hand.
As the men cut into the stomach of the immense whale, to their amazement, the outline of a man showed through the membrane. Working swiftly but carefully, the men soon uncovered the missing Bartley. More remarkably, he was still alive, although unconscious. Big, rough sailors found a new gentleman. They tenderly stripped the unconscious Bartley of his clothes and laid him on the deck. The men swarmed about the unmoving figure. Willing hands massaged his limbs, his chest, and his face with firm tenderness. Bartley was a ghastly sight as he lay naked on the deck. His entire body had turned purple. Working in relays, the men strove mightily to restore normal circulation to this modern-day Jonah. Finally, he gasped feebly and fluttered his eyes. Instantly, the captain sprang forward with a bottle and forced some brandy down Bartley's throat. After a few splutters and coughs, Bartley looked up at the anxious crew hovering over him and smiled weakly. The crew let out a mighty cheer and pounded each other on the back and danced crazily around the prone but conscious Bartley. It was as if the crew of the Star of the East had brought their companion back from the grave. For several days, Bartley hovered on the verge of losing his hand. The terrible ordeal he had undergone had been a tremendous stress. However, under the rough but solicitous care of his shipmates, Bartley recovered sufficiently to tell his amazing story. On the return voyage to England, his health was nearly restored. After a complete rest, he made a written statement about his experience.
The story was confirmed by the entire crew of the Star of the East. Here is James Bartley's sworn statement, attested to by his shipmates, quoted verbatim.
I remember very well from the moment that I jumped from the boat and felt my feet strike some soft substance. I looked up and saw a big ribbed canopy, a light pink and white, descending over me. The next moment, I felt myself drawn downward, feet first. I realized I was being swallowed by a whale. I was drawn lower and lower. The wall of flesh surrounded me, hemmed me in on every side. Yet the pressure was not painful, and the flesh easily gave way like soft india rubber before my slightest movement. Suddenly, I found myself in a sack, much larger than my body, but completely dark. I felt about me. My hand came in contact with several fishes, some of which seemed to be still alive, for they squirmed in my fingers and slipped back to my feet. Soon I felt a great pain in my head. My breathing became more and more difficult. At the same time, I felt a terrible heat. It seemed to consume me, growing hotter, hotter. My eyes became coals of fire in my head, and I believed every moment that I was condemned to perish in the valley of the whale. It tormented me beyond all endurance, while at the same time, the awful silence of the terrible prison weighed me down. I tried to rise, to move my arms and legs, to cry out. All action was now impossible. But my brain seemed abnormally clear. With a full comprehension of my awful fate, I finally lost all consciousness.
Experts agree that a strange combination of circumstances gave Bartley his million-to-one chance of survival. First, the large, dull teeth of the whale missed his body. Second, he lost consciousness and lay quiet. Third, the whale died shortly after swallowing Bartley, which lowered its normal body temperature to 104 degrees. Further, Bartley was about 35 years of age at the time, strong in body and in constitution. The only lasting effect of his terrible experience seems to have been a recurring nightmare in which he relived his sensations in the whale's stomach. Well, that's the story of the modern Jonah, James Bartley. I wonder if Robert Ingersoll, the great agnostic, ever heard of him. I'll be back in a moment to tell you about our next story behind the story.
A Korean truce has been signed, but long after the shooting war has left the front pages, many an American serviceman will still be fighting his greatest battle, the battle for his life. Weeks, months, even years of hospitalization, surgical skill, therapy will be thrown into winning that battle. And something else, blood, your blood. Doctors call blood the miracle medicine. No drugs, no substitute can take the place of this life-giving gift which we have the power to give and which is so essential to a boy's recovery. Yes, the guns have ceased firing, but the fight for life continues in the crowded wards of our military hospitals. Think about those young veterans lying quietly in their hospital beds, average age 22 years. These boys have done their part. The doctors and hospitals are doing their best. And we want to do our best, too, with continued blood donations. Will you be a Red Cross blood donor and help a wounded man win his battle? Call your Red Cross now. Now a final word from Marvin Miller.
Next time I'll take you behind the story of a beautiful woman. One of the most famous glamour girls of all time. Not a live one, but the lovely statue we know as the Venus de Milo. I'll tell you about her discovery and of the numerous heated controversies which raged over her. Until then, this is Marvin Miller, transcribing So Long from Hollywood.
Don Lee is celebrating its completion of a quarter century of radio broadcasting. It's the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.